welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, Radio Family. This is Sister Judith, and I greet you in that wonderful name above every name, the name of our risen Lord Jesus Christ. And as I was seeking the Lord for what He would have me share with you this week, I was taken to a really fascinating portion of Scripture in 1 Kings, and perhaps one of the more sobering lessons for us that we can learn from, because the Old Testament was given as examples to us. The Word of God is rich with instruction and exhortation, and the people, the heroes and the villains, if you were, they were just like us, and there are lessons to be learned. And for me, one of the most sobering aspects of the great biblical heroes of the Bible, if you will, is that of Solomon. He was the beloved son of David and chosen out of all David's other sons to be the king, to assume the throne after David passed on. And it says that there was none like Solomon in all the earth for his wisdom, for his wealth. And God blessed him so greatly because he asked for wisdom that he knew would know how to govern God's people. And this pleased the Lord. And one of the most sorrowful aspects of his life is that he turned away from the Lord in his elder years because of his wives. And it said, I'm going to read now 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 9, which says, "And the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice. And he commanded him concerning this thing, that he should not go after other gods, but he kept not that which the Lord commanded. Wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon, Forasmuch as this is done of thee, and thou hast not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I have commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from thee, and will give it to thy servant." The prophet goes on to say that David's sake, he wouldn't do it in his lifetime, but it would occur in the time when his son was reigning. And so basically, the Lord stirred up an adversary, Hadad the Edomite. And also in verse 26 of that same chapter, it says, "And Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, an Ephraimite of Zereda, Solomon's servant," in other words, he was a servant, "whose mother name was Zeruah, a widow woman, even he lifted up his hand against the king." And it says in verse 28, the man Jeroboam was a mighty man of valor, and Solomon, seeing the young man, that he was industrious, he made him ruler over all the charge of the house of Joseph. And now listen what happens. "It came to pass at the time when Jeroboam went out of Jerusalem, there was a prophet by the name of Ahijah, the Shilonite, who found him. And he had clad himself," I'm reading in verse 29, "with a new garment. They two were alone in the field. And Ahijah caught the new garment that was on him, rent it in 12 pieces. He said to Jeroboam, 'Take thee 10 pieces, for thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, Behold, I will rend the kingdom out of the hand of Solomon, and will give 10 tribes to thee.'" I won't read all these verses, but he goes on to say, "For David's sake, he will allow one tribe that will continue to exist for David's sake." And he said the reason he's done this, that Israel had worshipped Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Zidonians, Chemosh, the god of the Moabites, Milcom, the god of the children of Ammon. And basically, he said in verse 36, "Unto his son will I give one tribe, that David my servant may have a light alway before me in Jerusalem." And listen what the prophet tells Jeroboam in the name of the Lord. Verse 37, I will take thee, and thou shalt reign according to all that thy soul desireth, and thou shalt be king over Israel. And it shall be, if thou wilt hearken unto all that I command thee, and will walk in my ways, and do that which is right in my sight, to keep my statutes and my commandments, as did David my servant, that I will be with thee, and will build thee a sure house, as I built for David, and will give Israel unto thee. And then it goes on, Solomon sought to kill Jeroboam. All right, now let's go on, and we want to start looking now at chapter 13, and we're going to be starting at verse 1. And during this period of time, Jeroboam then becomes king in Israel. And in chapter 13, here we have a background of, what do we see? Solomon, he had his spiritual adultery and idolatry. The United Kingdom is divided. And toward the end of Solomon's reign, as we saw, Ahijah the prophet met Jeroboam. He declared to him that God was about to rend the kingdom and that he should have 10 tribes. And of course, he vividly symbolized this by tearing his new garment into 12 pieces and gave Jeroboam 10 of them. Now, think of this. And he was a servant. What a great opportunity Jeroboam had. He was told, as I just read you, that if he listened to God, he obeyed what God commanded him, that God would be with him and build him a sure house, just as he did for David, and would give him Israel. What more could a man desire than that? But we see in his subsequent actions the true nature of his character. Jeroboam was grasping, he was eager for power and glory, and his apostasy was willful, designed, and persistent. So listen, let's now start in chapter 13, verse 1, which says, Behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel, and Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. If you recall from your reading of the Word of God, so many times when there's a reference to Jeroboam, at least 25 times, his name carries identification, if you will, who made Israel to sin. What a terrible heritage, a legacy that is. And by doing what he did, the choices he made, he abandoned all prospects of a glorious heritage. He established idolatry in Israel. What did he do specifically? And I won't read the verses, but in violation of God's commands that were given specifically in Deuteronomy, the 12th chapter, verse 5, where God said he wanted one temple, he wanted one priesthood, and he wanted one altar at Jerusalem. In defiance and rebellion, Jeroboam instituted new centers of worship in the north and the south of the kingdom, at Bethel and at Dan. There was a new altar of sacrifice, new objects of worship, the golden calves. And he took priesthood from the common people. They were non-Levitical priests set them in position. And he instituted a new annual feast. Now, why did he do that? Well, the scripture very clearly tells us in 1 Kings, the 12th chapter, verse 27. Well, let me read 26. And Jeroboam said in his heart, Now shall the kingdom return to the house of David, if this people go up to do sacrifice in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem. Then shall the heart of this people turn again unto their Lord, even unto Rehoboam, who was Solomon's son, king of Judah, and they shall kill me, and go again to Rehoboam, king of Judah. Whereupon the king took counsel, made 2 calves of gold, and said unto them, It's too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. He put one in Bethel and one in Dan. And this thing became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one, even unto Dan. So he had a tremendous opportunity for a great heritage, but again, the man's character was tried, and he was definitely found wanting. This is really a very sad story. As we see what is going to be, as I share with you in chapter 13, It talks about the dangers of self-deceit as well as disobedience. And this is true not only for the wicked who, you know, rebelliously, violently, blatantly, openly violate God's commands, but for those who are God's servants. Beloved, we serve a holy and a just and a righteous God, and He will not be mocked. He will surely punish disobedience committed by the righteous or the unrighteous. Now, thank God for grace, but we see that, you know, God will deal with a person who is serving Him, and if they allow purposely and continue in sin, God will begin to deal with them to bring them back. And we've seen, in recent years and decades, it's so sad to see those who were once mightily used of God, those in leadership, they, you know, get tripped up in the end through temptation and they fall prey to the devil. And he especially, Satan, the roaring lion, goes about seeking whom he may devour. He especially targets those in leadership and ministry. So, you know, we should be careful about pointing fingers, because there, but for the grace of God, go I. And so this is it's a sobering story, but even though we are under grace, beloved, the character of God has not changed. God is a holy God, and He demands that we serve Him out of a loving, willing heart, simply because we love Him, because of all that He has done for us. He's done everything He possibly could to give us an abundant life, an eternal life, abundant life in this life, as we choose the way of the Lord. It's a good way. It's a wonderful way to walk in. And it's only the devil who brings lies and deception to make the unsaved think it's a hard and unpleasant way to live. But there's no greater joy than walking and serving the living God, because He loves us so much and wants what is best for us. Amen. Well, tomorrow we're going to start actually going through chapter 13. And this is a bit of a teaching, but it's very rich with examples and lessons for us. I hope you can be with us. In a moment, the announcer will give our contact information. Thank you so much for joining me today. And if you have prayer needs, I invite you to write and share with me. Your letters are confidential, and I'll pray with you earnestly and send back whatever God gives to bless you and encourage your heart. I love you. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass. Say, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. Or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless.